I need a cup, please.
We left off a few weeks ago, and Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. This is the famous sugi that's called Tipas Cholov. The Mishnah has Tipas Cholov. We'll do again the Mishnah, and we'll start. We did the first 10 lines anymore. So the Gemara has Tipas Cholov, a drop of milk that falls on a piece of flesh. So if it succeeds in giving an asinus tam into the flesh, then it becomes Basa B'Cholov. If, let's say, you have a pot full of flesh and a drop of milk falls in, and you have shishim, you have well over shishim in the flesh against the milk, so the milk does not succeed in giving any tam into the flesh, then it's not Basa B'Cholov. That's a big question. Why is that so? Is it because the milk is bottle? You say the milk is bottle in the flesh because it's a rive of flesh in the miut of the milk and it's ain't a nice and tam. If it would succeed in giving the sinas tam, so then tam kikur, so it's not bottle. It doesn't succeed in giving tam, and you have a rive against it, so it's bottle. That's why. But you say the word is you don't even need bittel b'rive. It's not based on bittel. There's no is in the first place. Derech bishul osra Torah. The whole prohibition of basa b'cholov. It's awesome that the rabbanim to eat flesh and cheese in the same meal, to drink a cup of milk and to eat flesh in the same meal. That's only awesome in the rabbanim. In our Torah, it's only awesome if it's basa b'cholov. If the flesh succeeds in giving the sinas tam into the milk, or the reverse, the milk succeeds in giving the sinas tam into the flesh. If the milk doesn't give tam in the flesh, you don't have to say the milk is bottle. What do you have to say? The milk is bottle. It didn't give the sinas tam, so there's no din of basa b'cholov. That's going to be relevant in the sugya. How do you read the Gemara? Is it based?
The milk is still there.
Right.
It's not as if the milk isn't there. It's just the Torah says halachically it's
bottle.
That's bottle. Physically, it's still there.
Right. So when you eat the flesh that has the milk mixed in, but have shishim against it, so it's like eating a fleshig sandwich and having a drink of milk at the same time. But the milk and the meat are not connected. The milk only asks the meat if it succeeds in giving tam. Doesn't give tam. So you don't have to say it's bottle. The milk is there, but Minatari allowed to add milk and flesh together. As long as it doesn't give tam. But he's saying, no, it's based on bittel. That's a big machlekes harishonim.
So it's not based on bittel, would you ask Midrabbanan then?
Should be also Midrabbanan. So then Midrabbanan you have to say it's bottle. But the Rabbanah, on the level of the Rabbanah, you have to say the milk is bottled.
You already quoted Rabbi Kiva Eger that Ibn Bank Nisul Chila would apply.
Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the Taisvus and the Rosh who say that it's not based on Bittu. It's based on what Rabbi said here, Derech Bishul Asa Torah. If it's ain't a nice and tam, so the Issa doesn't get off the ground at all. Rabbi Kiva Eger asked this so, says, if Mutter Lachatchila to pour a few drops of milk, the milk is kosher. And so there's no issue of aim about the nisa lechatchila. You're not really being mevatel anything if it doesn't succeed in giving the sinas tam shebi mutter. So he says, no, it's still you're not allowed to. Yeah, on the level of the rabbanon, you're not allowed to. On the level of the rabbanon, you have to say that it's bottled. Because when the rabbanon, you're not allowed to have milk in the same meal together with fleshiks. So if you have over here the milks, you have to say, on the level of the Rabbanah, you have to come on to bittel. But on the level of the Raisa, could well be that you don't even need bittel.
You have a liquid and a solid. How can you combine the two?
You have a pot full of flesh. Let's say you have a pot full of flesh with a lot of soup there, a lot of schmaltzy sauce. Yeah, and then you have a little bit of milk, a drop of milk falls in, and everything gets all mixed up. So you don't taste the flavor of the milk. So that's a big machlekes. Why is it bottle? Because Tosfos formulates a klal. There is a gemara. Let's say I have a beged that's, if you have a beged with semer or pishtim together, so that's shatan, so you're not allowed to wear it. So what happens? I have a beged shel semer, and a chut shel pishton was sewn in. Somebody sewed in a chutzal pishtan, the same color. The time of the pishtan, the same color, and you can't tell which is which. There really should be a test to tell whether something is semer or pishtan. But somehow in the days of the Gemara, sometimes they couldn't tell. So if beged she'ava boklaim, the Gemara has a price, if beged she'ava boklaim, have a beged shel semer, and the chutzal pishtan was sewn in, and I can't figure out which is the chutzal pishtan. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to wear the beged, you're not allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. Because if you sell it to a non-Jew, he may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew won't even realize that. Is that any kshatness? If he says on the label, this is linen and wool together, I can sell it to a non-Jew, there's no lifnei v'lasita michshol, non-Jews are permitted to wear kshatness. And there's no concern the non-Jew is going to sell it back to a Jew. It says on the label that it has linen and wool. So there's no, it's mutabano. Kloy hakerem is also ba'no. If you plant kloy hakerem is also ba'no. But kloy begodim is mutabano, and there's no lifnei because the goyim are permitted to wear shatnas. There's no chashash that will resell it to a Jew. But the Gemara has a price, a beged she'ovod bo kloyim, a beged shel pishton has one chut shel tzemer in it. A beged shel tzemer has one chut shel pishton in it. And you lost the chut and you don't know which one it is. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to wear it, you're not allowed to sell it to a goy because he may resell it to a Jew and it'll be your violation of lifneva. So Tosfos respect Akasha. But if you don't know which chut is the tzemer, so let's say it's bottle berayv. Why don't you say it's bottle berayv? You have so many chutim there and you can't identify. You know, ruba de ruba, 999 chutim at tzemer and one chut is pishtan. So why don't you say it's bottle berayv? So Tosfos answers, heta beheta loy bottle. What do you mean heta beheta loy bottle? If tzemer and pishtim together create the yisur, so you can't say that one. That's what Tosfos claims. You can't say you could have said, but that's what Tosfos is mechadish based on this gemara that you don't say that the chut shel pishtim is bottle and the chutim shel tzemer. That's exactly what the Torah prohibits, that you're not allowed to wear the tzemer and pishtim together. One could have argued the point and said, no, it's only prohibited to wear tzemer pishtim yachdov if you can identify. I can feel it. I can feel this is tzemer, this is pishtim. It's a different consistency. So it's nicker. I know which one is tzemer, I know which one is pishtim. But if you can't tell which is which, maybe you would have said that is bottle berayv. So that's what Tosfos is mechadish. No. You see, from that gemara, beged shavu baklayim, that's the gemara in the end of Nida. Beged shavu baklayim, also lemochel lenochri, that it's not bottle. So the Rishonim ask a kasha. So what's over here by Basa B'cholov? Why do you say that if the tipas cholov, the drop of milk, did not succeed in giving an asinas tam into the whole pot full of flesh with all the sauce, if it doesn't succeed in giving a tam, then you say that it's bottle. I can say it's bottle, but heta beheta le bottle. That's exactly what Basa B'cholov is all about. If you have Basa and cholov and they join together, it creates an iser. So shouldn't it be the same as semer or pishtim? So the Rishonim give two answers. So the Tosfos and the Rosh, that's Rabbi Kivega quotes this, Tosfos and the Rosh, they answer that for Basa B'cholov, it's mutter, it's not based on bittel. You don't need bittel. Rabbi said, Derech Bishul, also ter. If the Cholov doesn't succeed in giving time into the Basa, so B'cholov, there's no Isser. You don't have to say that the Cholov is bottle, and his bottle is Kemisheino. No, the Cholov is there, but Menater, it's mutter to eat flesh and milk at the same time. It's only also if the milk succeeds in giving tam into the basa, if I care, the basa succeeds in giving tam into the chol. But kolzmana doesn't succeed in giving tam, so by definition, there's no isa derech bishul asatur. And that's what the Tosfos and the Rosh answer. And other Rishonim give a different teretz. They say, by the beged she'ovah bo klayim, you're talking about 1,000 threads. So 999 achutim shel tzemer, and one chut is shel pishtun. So 1,000, and you don't know which is which. So that's yavish b'yavish. There are two kinds of taruvasin. There's a taruvas of yavish b'yavish, and there's a taruvas of lach b'lach. Let's say I bought 3 salamis. I bought 2 kosher salamis for myself and my family. We're going to eat the kosher food. I bought a tray for salami for the mishareses. I have a non-Jewish maid in the house, and she wants the salami for lunch. So I removed all the labels, and then by mistake, I mixed them up. The goyish maid in the house has her own kitchen. She has her own frying pan. So I removed the label so she should be able to fry her tray for salami. It's less expensive. It's muta b'hano. You're not allowed to be in the lot. You're not allowed to have a non-kosher butcher store. You're not allowed to do schar b'macholas asuras. But it's muta b'hano. It's muta b'hano. So I can buy it from the store and feed it to the non-Jewish maid. If it would have been asa b'hano, if you have basa b'chol, it was asa b'hano. So you can't feed it to your maid either. But the nevelis of treifas is mutabano. So let's say after I remove all of the 3 labels from the 3 salamis, they all get mixed up and I can't tell which is which. So if I have 2 salamis or kosher, and one is nevela meat, so that's the din. It's a tarubis of yavish biyavish, 3 different chatichas, and 2 are kosher. One is treifas, and the din is that it's muta. It's batel b'rayv is muta. So that's a tarubis of yavish biyavish. Then there's a tarubis of lach balach here. When you have a pot full of flesh that's cooking, and then a drop of milk falls in, and a drop of milk spreads all over the place. So whatever piece of flesh you're going to eat, you're going to have a mashahu of milk in it. So that's a tarubis of lach balach. So it's in some ways it's better, in some ways it's worse. It's a different kind of a tarubis. So that's what the Agudah, there's a Rishon called the Sefer Agudah. It was a Talmud of the Rosh. The Shach quotes all the time from the Agudah. So the Agudah gives that as a teretz. He says, when the Tosfos formulate the klal that heta beheta lay bottle, a chut shel pishton gets mixed in with 999 chutim shel tzemer, and you can't identify which is which, so you say it creates an iser. That's exactly what the iser is. It's also, that's because the chutim are yavish biyavish. So that's a different kind of bittle. But over here we're talking about lach balach. The drop of milk gets lost over there. It doesn't succeed in giving the sinas tam. So here, even though it's heter beheter, it is bottle. It's a different kind of bittle. Bittle of lach balach is better than bittle of yavish biyavish. Here you say that it is bottle. That's not Tosfos' answer. Tosfos and the Rosh say not so. They say that here it's not based on bittle at all. It's no issa derech bishul asatar. If it doesn't succeed in giving the sinas tam, there's no wish in the first place.
Rabbi just said yavish biyavish, 2 out of 3 is good.
That what?
2 out of 3 is good, but yavish biyavish.
It's bottle beraim.
So I understand. So what's with one with the tzemer and kalayim?
If one salami is treif and two salamis are kosher, got mixed up, so the din is a bottle bro, you can eat. You can't eat all three salamis. One person can't eat all three salamis. I can eat one or two out of the three salamis. But that's because you're dealing with a treif. A salami got mixed in with kosher salami, and Issa fell into heter. But if you have heter fell into heter, you have one chut of tzemer got mixed in with 999 chut of mapishton, and tzemer pishtam yachtov create an iser. So here, since it creates an iser, then it's not bottle. Begat shava baklayim remains shatnas. That's Tosfos learns that that's the pshat in the Gemara. The heta beheta loy bottle.
Because
you have 999 yes. Against one, so it should have been bottle. The answer is no, but this is what the Torah prohibits. Torah says that these two join together, so it becomes asa.
According to Tosfos in a rush, what is the, if it's not nosin tam, even if you're actually cooking the meat and you have it together, that's not considered bishul.
It's not called
cooking in the pot.
Yeah.
Keep cooking for another hour.
Yeah.
That's not
called derech bishul. Means if I cook meat and milk together, why did I do that? Because I wanted the meat to taste like milk. I wanted the milk to taste like meat. But if it's not nois and tam, so that's not called lois of ashul gedi b'chalei v'imoy. The whole idea of lois of ashul gedi b'chalei v'imoy is to give in the sinas tam. One into the other should succeed in giving a tam. But if it doesn't give a tam, so by definition, that's not called bishul. For Shabbos purposes, it is bishul. For bishul lakum, it is bishul. But for Basa B'chol, it was only called Bishul if it succeeds in giving a tam.
Isn't there a bottle of a Messiah for Shalayim? Or is that only for Shalayim?
Bottle of a Messiah means if I have Kalai HaKerem, that's also Bahano, let's say wine of Kalai HaKerem, gets mixed into normal wine, kosher wine, so then you need masayim to be mevatlet. You don't say bitlechad betray, you need masayim. That's a chumer midirabbanon. Truma needs mea, and in Arlan Klayakarim need masayim. It's all midirabbanon, yeah.
You have chametz mixed with
non chametz,
not on Pesach. Isn't
chametz batbarav? Chametz karamat Pesach is batbarav, yeah. It's not called heta beheta. Take for example, there's a Mishnah in Kelayim, a Masech Sklayim, it talks about Shatnas. So Shatnas is only also if it's Tzemer Rechelim. Let's say it's Tzemer Gemalim. You have camel's hair. So it's camel's hair does and you mix it together with Pishton, with linen, doesn't create Kelayim. So what if they mix together Tzemer Rechelim with Tzemer Gemalim? And now you have a blend. And then you put in chutim shel pishtan into that. So the Mishnah says it depends. When you made the blend of tzemer gemalim with tzemer rechelim, if one was 80% and one was 20%, so let's say 80% is tzemer gemalim and 20% is tzemer rechelim, so the whole thing is it's batel berov the tzemer rechelim, and it's mutar lechatchila to put in chutim shel pishtan. Why? The heta beheter is bottle. Heta beheter is bottle. Heta beheter le bottle means if the two things together create an isa. If you have tzemer or pishtim yachta creates an isa. Bas v'chalv together creates an isa. So then Taisa says that's what the Braisa meant to say. Heta beheter le bottle, because that's exactly the definition of the isa. But tzemer chelim and tzemer gemalim, one does nasa the other. You say that tzemer echelim is 20%, tzemer gemalim is 80% in the blunt. So it's bottle beroy. So bottle beroy. So no longer tzemer echelim. So you've permitted lachatchila to mix in the pishna.
In the case of our Mishnah here, you don't really have lach balach because the piece of meat is above the rest of the food that's in there.
Yeah.
So it's really lach in something that's yavish.
Yeah, that's what he points out. Lach and yavish, also it's called lach balach in the sense the tam of the lach is mispashet in the whole thing. The tam is mispashet. It's also like lach balach. Lach into a dover gush is like lach balach in the sense
the
that it
strikes the solid piece of meat, permeates the meat, and goes into the liquid.
No, only if you make
it. Yeah, it doesn't go into the liquid below the surface of the liquid. If it goes in, then you mitzarf everything to be mabatul yishishin. Here somehow, that's the big machlekes in the Yeridei, is the upper piece. Half in, half above the thing, or the totally above the level of the liquid. Detail machlokes, but whatever it is, we're assuming that the tam of the cholov, the tipas cholov, is mispashet through the whole chaticha. So that's the same as lach balach. That's lach in a dova gush. The tam is mispashet. It's blila. That's the difference. As Shach says, what's the difference in definition between lach balach and yavish biyavish? A yavish biyavish, there's no blilo. Lach balach means that there's a blilo. So here also, there's a blilo. The tam of the cholov is mispashet all over the place. Yeah, yeah. There are three different isurim. There's an isur bishul, even if you're not going to eat, I'm going to cook it for non-Jews. I'm in the Rav Soloveitchik told the story. A Jew was drafted into the army.
Just cooking it without using it.
Yeah, also. The Pashto says that that's still an Issa Bishul Basa B'cholov. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had a suffix about that. Maybe the prohibition of Bishul Basa B'cholov is only if he planned that someone should eat it. But if no one's going to eat it at all, he had a svar, maybe it's mutter. Because one of the students wanted to test it chemically to try to figure out what is it that the Torah prohibited in Basa B'cholov. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to cook basa b'cholov just in order to test it, to see what reaction, for experimental purpose, not going to feed it to anybody. So Moshe Soloveitchik, that's Rav Soloveitchik's father, raised the possibility, based on a Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that maybe there's no prohibition. But we assume in Shulchan Aruch not so. We assume in Shulchan Aruch that it's also to cook basa b'cholov, even if no one's going to eat it. You're going to throw it out. That's not a problem. I can sell shatnez garments to non-Jews and there's no problem. Only if you wear it or if you use it as a blanket. Either wearing it as clothing, like this, or to use it as a blanket. No, the cook, a Jew was drafted into the army and it's his job to cook in the kitchen. So they told him he has to cook bas v'cholom. So he's not allowed to cook bas v'cholom. So Rav Soloveitchik told him if they want you to do chicken and butter, that's only bas v'cholom d'rabbanan. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that's mutter bebishul and mutter behanor. But if it's flesh with milk, even if it's nevela flesh, if it's flesh with milk, that's bas b'chalav deraisa. So bas b'chalav deraisa is a separate isa on the bishul, even if no one's going to eat it. Separate isa on the bishul, separate isa. Chazamista, also, there's no isa bishul. No isa bishul. Just an isa achila because it's chazam. Yeah. There's a. Take for example, we're going to have to discuss this anyways. I may as well bring it up now. The pasuk says on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to shech parachatas hashaloi. He shechs the parachatas that he pays for, and then he takes shnei sirei izim. He takes two goats that look identical, and one is a soil lazozo. He's going to push it over the cliff, and one is a soil Hashem achatos, and he does the zrikas in the Kodesh Hakadosh in front of the parochas. Then he has to mix together. He has to mix the dam from the parachatas hashaloi, from the korban, the par that he paid for, and the soil Hashem, which the Klal Yisrael paid for from the machzor shekel money. You have to mix the dam together and then do zrikas on the mizbeach apnimi. So the tanoim were bothered with their kasha. A par is a big fat animal, and a soil is a skinny animal. So it's a dov yodua shadam hapar meruba midam hapar. There's going to be more dam hapar than there is going to be dam asor. So how is the Kohen Gadol ever in fulfillment of the din? And he mixes it together. And he does the zrika on the four kindness of Mizbech HaPnimi. The Dam HaSor is bottle in the Dam HaPar, because it's more than 50% is Dam HaPar, and less than 50% it's Alach Balach. So it should be bottle. So all the Tanoim are working on that kasha. How is the Kohen Gadol in fulfillment of the requirement of the mitzvah? By definition, it can't be. And if he'll hold the cup under the par for a very short period of time, the dama par is merubah. But if he holds the klisharis under the neck of the par for only for 1 second, and he'll hold the klisharis under the neck of the sor for 10 seconds, so it'll be dama sor, will be merubah mi dama par. How many chances are there that it's going to be 50-50? One chance in 5 billion zillion trillion is not going to happen. So either one is going to be more, or the other one is going to be more. So there's going to be more. So all the Tanoim are bothered with this kash. So the Tana Rab Yudi came up with a chiddush based on this pasuk. From this pasuk, we learn out that min b'mino b'mashu, that if you have dam mixed in with dam, so dam b'dam, a mayim b'mayim. Let's say someone. The Gemara talks a lot about the non-Jews worshipping Avodah Zarah, so they pour wine in front of the Avodah Zarah. Some of them like to pour water. Wine is expensive, so you pour water. So the Chachamim never prohibited drinking water that was processed by non-Jews because of the Hashash. Maybe they were menasech et Avodah Zarah. They prohibited buying wine for non-Jews. Maybe they were menasech the wine Avodah Zarah. But water they never prohibited because of the Chashash. But if you know for sure that this cup of tea was poured in front of Avodah Zarah, it will be Asabano min HaTorah. Stam Yainim was only forbidden with the Rabbanah. Maybe the guy was Manasseh Chet L'Avodah Zarah. Or maybe it'll lead to intermarriage. Two different reasons the Gemara has why they prohibited Stam Yainim. One Mishum Ben Hasem, because it may lead, I may enjoy the wine so much, I may want to have Eved Kekest, a lifetime supply of wine, I'll marry his daughter, and he'll always supply me with this delicious wine. So one reason why you're not allowed to drink the Stam Yainim is because it may lead to intermarriage. And the other reason is, once they raised, that was the more serious consideration. Once they made that prohibition, so they slapped on another concern, maybe the guy was Menasech et Lavid Azor. It's highly unlikely that he was Menasech et Lavid Azor, then he's going to give it to you to drink, or he's going to sell it to you. If it was Menasech et Lavid Azor, it's going to be for Avodah Zarah. He's a religious guy. Why should he give it to you? So it's far-fetched. Far-fetched that he was Menasech et Lavid Azor, he's going to give it to you. So Tosfos said they would never have made Gzeira because of Nisuch. But once they made the Gzer Mishum Ben Hasem, because it may lead to intermarriage, so they slapped on another Echumra, that not only is it also Bechila, also Beshtia, it's even also Bahano, because of that far-fetched Chashash, maybe he was Manasseh Chet L'Avodah Zarah. So getting back again, so there's a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yayin B'Yayin is B'Mashu, Dam B'Dam is B'Mashu, Mayim B'Mayim is B'Mashu. Let's say there's Trefa water. What do you have, Trefa water? America, the ganze America is treif. The steiner seine treif. What do you have treif for water? A guy was menasach water. So the water gets mixed in with regular water. The Rebbe would say, mayim b'mayim is b'mashu. Dam b'dam is b'mashu. Yayin b'yayin is b'mashu. Whenever it's min b'mino, it's b'mashu. And the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe. They say it's not true. There is no such din that min b'mino. Rashi paskins like Rebbe. Rashi paskins like the Tana that min b'mino b'mashu. And there have been a time. Rashi holds that we pass like our beauty in min b'min and mashu, but Rashi over here holds that we hold there was a machlokes the last time we learned, a couple of weeks ago, we learned there was a machlokes abai v'rova in our Gemara. So Rashi learned the machlokes abai v'rova was whether you hold tam kikur as a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. So Rashi holds, since it's not from the Yalkagam, there are six cases where there's a machlokes abai v'rova, and we pass like Abaye, but this is not one of the Yalkigam cases, so the din is like Rava. And Rava disagrees with Abaye, and Rava holds that Tam Kikar is Lav Deraisa. So that's how Rashi paskins. Min b'min and b'mashuhu like Abuda, and Tam Kikar is Lav Deraisa. And the Tesis in a few Masichtas quotes Rashi's grandson, the Rabbin, and Tam said, everything faket from the Zeta. He said, we don't paskin min b'min and b'mashuhu. That was a Rabbi Yehuda holds like that. He was outvoted by all the Tanoim. True, Rav Shmuel agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but that's all. Rav Shmuel agree. All the other Amoraim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Tam says, we don't paskin like Rashi, who follows Mim and Mina B'Mashu. And on the other issue, whether Tam Kikar Deraisa Rabbana, so Rabbi Tam says against Rashi, that Tam Kikar is Deraisa. And if you have a Suffolk Shishim, and a Mim B'Shein, you have to go to Chumrah. So the What do the other Tanaim do with that pasuk? The pasuk says, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur mixes together v'lokach hakoyim midam apor midamus and mixes together. Then he does the zrikas on the dalad karnas on mizbeach and the mizbeach apnimi in the hechel. So how can he ever mix in v'lokach hakoyim midam apor midamus? One is going to be batal berot. So they say a different answer. The pasuk teaches you mikan la'olin she'im avatlan zezeh dam that's supposed to be oil al gabi hamizbeach. The Dama Par is supposed to be Nizrak on the Mizbech, and the Dama Sar is supposed to be Nizrak on the Mizbech. So that's what the Pasuk teaches you. You can't generalize such a big klal. Mim, mina, b'masho, that's too much. You have to have it, Eilach Boy, how do you say, Tafastam Rubala, Tafastam, Tafastam or Tafastam. You can't generalize so much. Mim, mina is always b'masho. Ole, mim, batam, zezeh. If there's both the Dama Par and the Dama Sar are supposed to be Oila, Gabi Amizbeach, both are supposed to be Nizrak, Agami Amizbeach, So that's not bottled. But if you have a different case of Mimimino, Mimimino would be...
How would the Kohen do it?
He mixes them both together in one kli.
Yeah.
First he does Srika, Sanadama, Dama.
It's a mixture, right?
Yeah. A mixture, so he does the Srika seven times on the...
You have to
mix it together. Ma'arvin Lekranis, you have to mix it together to do the Karnas HaMizbech. Yeah, you have to mix it together. So Reb Yehuda learns that from that pasuk, a universal klal, the min min is always b'mashu, dam b'dam is b'mashu, samayim b'mayim is mashu, and yayin b'yayin is b'mashu. And we don't accept Rashi paskins like Reb Yehuda. We don't accept Reb Yehuda sheet and Shulchan Aruch. We paskin min min is batel. Faket, you don't need shishim, is batel chad b'tre, is batel b'roif. But olim eim avatlan zezeh, things that are supposed to be korv agam ezbeach, those things are not bottled. So Tosis points out in a few mesichtes the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not where it belongs. Tosis in Gittin and other mesichtes, it should have been somewhere more prominent place that should have been more noticeable. But the Tosis is tucked away where it shouldn't have been. So Tosis points out Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that mim mimin mimashu is only if it's a taruvus of lach balach. If you have a tarubus of yavish b'yavish, he would never say min 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 mashu. Let's say you have three chocolate bars, and two are milchig and one is parve, and there's no way to tell, and you took off the wrappers, and you mix them up, and they look exactly the same, and there's no way to experiment to figure out which is the milchig one and which is the parve one. So would you say that it's, would you say, a beauty holds a min 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 mashu? That's called min 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 mashu. So Tai says, no, min 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 mashu is only lach balach. He never said it by Yavish B'Yavish. Doesn't apply to Yavish B'Yavish. Let's say you have the case that we gave three salamis.
What's the start to be the
it's a totally different din of bitl. By lach balach, there's a blila. Mm-hmm. So there's a mashu of iser all over the place. So whatever you're going to be eating, for sure there's going to be a mashu of iser. On the one hand, it's mochomer. Mashenikein Yavish B'Yavish, let's say you have the three salamis, you don't know which is which. So it's no, there's no blila.
Could also be all mixed up. Could be little things mixed up, a lot of little things.
If it'll be,
if it'll be
blended in together, if it's so ground up, chopped up, thin, finely, then it's called lach balach. Whenever there's blila, then it's called lach balach. That's what the Shach writes. What's the definition of lach balach versus yavish b'yavish? So lach balach means that when there's yesh blila, and you, like kemach b'kemach. So the Shach says kemach b'kemach is called lach balach. Chometz dike flour got mixed in with Pesach dike flour, and it's all mixed in together. So he said that's called lach balach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be if it would be min b'mino, it would be b'mashu, kemach b'kemach, it would be b'mashu. Yeah. So this is going to come up. This min b'mino mashu is going to come up in the sugya. So there are every so often there's a difference between it's a difference in conceptually it's a difference. The taruvus of yavish b'yavish. As opposed to Tarubis, Lach Balach is a totally different kind of a Tarubis. Each one has Milas and Chesron. It's the Lach Balach. Every particle, when you take a spoonful of soup, let's say a drop of Chazer Shmaltz fell into a pot of soup. And it's bottle B'shishim, bottle Be'elof Alfei Alofim. So every spoon of soup that you put in your mouth, B'vadois is going to have a little bit of Trefus in it. On the one hand, if you would have had Yavish B'Yavish, maybe you're taking the kosher salami. Maybe you're not falling at all. Lach balach, for sure. You're eating part of the treifas. Then on the other hand, though, because the lach balach, there's blila, So the whole time of the Issa disintegrates. Mashen ken yavish b'yavish. The tray for salami is sitting there in front of your eyes. You don't know which one it is. So if you may be the lucky winner, you'll eat the tray for salami. The odds are 2-1 that you're eating a kosher salami. But it may be that you're picking on the treifa salami, you're eating the treifa salami bien. Mama said treifa is sitting there bien. So each one has milas and chasrenas. So that's why the dinim are often different. So that's what the Aguda says, that when the Taisus developed this klal, that the heta loy batel, if you have the tzemer with the pishtim together, beged shalva baklayim, have a beged shal chutim of tzemer, and one chut of pishtun got mixed in, and I can't identify which is which. So Taisus said a chiddush based on that gemara, the heta beheta loy batel. So he said that's because chutim are yavish beyavish; they don't blend in together. There's no blila. Masheni kein tipas chalav shenafla al chaticha. Basa b'chalav together is the heta beheta. Should have said not batel. So he says no. This is a taruba is a lach balach, lach beyavish. You call lach begush, but it's like lach balach. It disintegrates. The tam is mispashe. So this din of heta beheta loy batel doesn't apply.
Why the difference in the three salamis? I don't know where the salami is, but it's still there. In essence, the salami is still there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this thread is still there. I just don't know
Same.
What it is.
Same.
It didn't blend in with the other thread.
No.
It's by itself.
Correct.
Just like that salami is.
Right.
So
by the salami, the din is that it is bottle. Chad betray is bottle. The one tray for salami comes bottle. But because these two things, tzemer and pishtim, when they join together, they create an iser. So heta beheta loy bottle. That's included in the gzeiras hakasuv of shatnes. Is not only if you have a garment and you can identify which part is tzemer, which part is pishtim. Even if you can't identify, but you know for sure that they're both components are here, that creates the iser.
Let's say something, two solids get mixed in together.
So on the level of the rice, they can't exist. On the level of the rice, it's only basa b'chalav if the two are nois and tam, one and the other. If one is not nois and tam and the other is not. On the level of the rabbanon, you can talk about such a shame. On the level of the rice, it can't exist. Okay. So let's see the gemara. So the first. The first few lines in the Gemara, we learned the Machlokes Abai v'Rava. Abai says, from the whole institution of Basa B'Cholov, you can prove that Tamkik is the Raisa. How do you ever have Basa B'Cholov? How do you ever have Basa B'Cholov? You're going to have exactly 50% milk and 50% schmaltz? Exactly? Never happens like that. One chance in 5 million, billion, zillion, trillion. Never going to happen like that. It's going to be a little bit of milk in the flesh, a little bit of flesh in the milk. So the one that's in less than 50% should be bottle. So if it's bottle, you say kamisha eino. So say that there's never any basa b'chalav never exists. Whichever is less than 50% should be considered non-existent because bottle. The answer is because it succeeds in giving tam. So you see that tam kiiker. If the thing gives tam, even though it's less than 50%, that prevents it from becoming bottle. So Abai wants the proof in the whole institution of basa b'chalav that tam kiiker must be deraisa in all these surim of a little treif ingredient is mixed into kosher food and it succeeds in giving an asinus tam. So even though it's less than 50%, it's not bottle. It's a din deraisa. That's how we paskin. Tam Kiker is their Isa. And Rabbi disagrees. So Rashi understood Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi holds Tam Kiker love their Isa. Taisa says, no, Dichuya Bialmahu, the Mehochalek Alamela. If Rabbi didn't disagree Alochalam Isa and hold that Tam Kiker is love their Isa, Rabbi's just saying, your proof is not a good proof. There are other psukim. Other psukim in the Chumash that indicate Giuli Klei Midyon and Mishras. Other psukim indicate that Tam Kiker is their Isa. So Rabbi says, it doesn't prove anything. The reason why over here, if it's nice and tam, it's aser because derech bishul aser tar. That's what it says in the Chumash. Could be that the basa b'chalav is an exception to the ruling. Can't prove from here to kol ha-terakula one way or the other, whether tam kika deraisa derabbanan. So that we discussed last time. So let's start from the next gemara. Omar Rav. The next piece of gemara right after the first six lines. So on the seventh line after the gemara begins, Omar Rav kevin shenasan tam b'chaticha. He's talking about a situation like the Mishnah has. A few drops of milk fell on a piece of flesh, and enough milk, and when you eat the meat, you can taste the flavor of the milk. So that piece of milk, and it's burning hot, not stam. If it's cold, if it's tzayin b'tzayin, it's again only basa b'chalav derabbanan. let's say I soak meat in milk for 24 hours, and the meat is bolea milk. That's kavush kemevushal. Something, a solid soaks with a liquid for 24 hours, that's called kavush. Kavush kemevushal makes a blia. So if you have, let's say, some kosher piece of meat is soaking in trefa orange juice, that's tevel, or let's say soaking in trefa wine, soaking in trefa whatever, some other kind of trefa food, a liquid, so then the kavush kemevushal will be a nisa deraisa. By basa b'cholav, if you have the meat is soaking in milk for 24 hours, that's only basa b'cholav derabbanan. That'll be muta b'hanoa and muta to do it. It's only asa menatayra if you do it derech bishul. If you do it derech shalob derech bishul, you just do kavush kemevushal. That's only basa b'cholav derabbanan. So it's only asa b'achila. It'll be muta b'hanoa and muta b'bishul, muta to do it.
Tasting itself is an issa.
So how do you get over
that hurdle?
In the days of the Gemara, they always used to give it to a non-Jew to taste. So we no longer do that. So that's a question. Why not? What? We don't trust the Nochrim today. The Heilige Nochrim, in the days of the Tanoim, the Nochrim is not even fine mentioned. And somehow today, we don't trust the Nochrim. Is that the reason why? It's a little unclear in Shulchan Aruch why we don't. But Maybe we'll get to talk about it. It's a Gemara also. It's a Gemara before. It's in the previous parak. We'll have to get to. Yeah. Yeah. So we always require shishim. We always require. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't always need shishim to be mevatel and issa. If you give it to a nachri and he tastes it and he says he doesn't taste the flavor of the issa that got mixed in, so you don't need shishim. So it's bottle without shishim.
Is it shishim by weight or by volume?
Volume, not by weight, by volume. Yeah. So Rav says the following din: if the cholov succeeds in giving tam to a piece of flesh and it's hot, the piece of flesh is hot. If the piece of flesh is cold, so it's only basav cholov drabon. Let's say the piece of flesh was soaking in milk and it certainly hasn't seen its tam. That's only basav cholov drabon. We're talking about the real McCoy here. Tipas chob shenof la lal chaticha, and the chaticha is on the top of a pot, and there's a fire on the bottom, and everything is burning hot. So we're talking, it became basa b'cholav deraisa. So then, initially, the cholav only fell on the top piece, which is either completely above the surface of the liquid, or half below the surface, half above the surface. Okay, so let's not, it's not such a significant, it's the gel adina, whether you assume the bliya goes through or not, but let's not spend time on that. So after that piece of flesh became basa b'chola because it gives an asin astam, what's it did now? I'll take this piece of flesh that became treif, I'll put it in a pot of water, and I'll cook it for an hour, and now I have shishim, now I have way over shishim against the tipas cholov. It was only one or two drops of milk. So now I have shishim against it. So now if I'll eat the piece of flesh, it won't have any tam cholov. So would you say that that piece of flesh became kosher now? Because now I have shishim? Or do you say no? Once the piece of flesh became osir, it remains osir the olivot. So that's called, the Gemara's Lashon calls that, do you say, efshel l'sochto osir, efshel l'sochto musir. Mutter, if I succeed in squeezing out, this chod means to squeeze out. If I squeeze out so much of the milk that was nivla into the flesh, that now it no longer gives the milk, no longer succeeds in giving the sinas tam in the flesh. So do you say now the piece of flesh is chozer l'hetero? The piece of flesh is not kosher. Or should you say no, we paskan efshel l'sochto is osir. Even if you can succeed in squeezing out all of the milk, it'll still be osir. That's how we paskan. So we paskan osir. So now there's a question on top of that. And what if efshel l'hafrido? What if you have a chemical procedure where you remove every single particle of milk from the piece of flesh? I cooked flesh with milk and I eat it and I can taste the basa b'cholav. So that's real basa b'cholav deraisa. Then I use a chemical procedure. I remove every single particle of milk, absolutely nothing left. Not that I cooked the piece of flesh that was basa b'cholav in a pot full of water and now there's so much water that the milk is batel b'shish and now I can't taste the milk and the flesh. But there still is a mashu of milk in the flesh. What if I removed every single last particle? So that's a further machlek. Is that the shach as a machlekis in the Yerideya? The two ways to read a sif in the Shulchan Aruch. So that's a machlekis, the shach in the Yerideya. What's the din of efshel l'hafrido? You have a couple of cases in Yerideya where that's considered the topic. Yeah, it is possible. Even in the days of the Gemara, they consider that a possibility. Yeah. There's a Gemara. What? There's a Gemara Kuf Yud Beis Amar Aleph. The last line of Kuf Yud Beis Amar Aleph, I'll tell you what it says. The last line of Tre Galilei de Milcha. The Gemara talks like this. They used to broil flesh, and the schmaltz would, they would salt the flesh, and the schmaltz would drip down to the bottom, and the dam would drip down to the bottom. They didn't salt the flesh in advance. They're broiling the flesh with the dam, and they put a little salt on to help the dam go out. So the schmaltz that falls down on them, let's say you have a pan on the bottom that collects the schmaltz. So you can't, years ago people considered it healthy to eat a lot of schmaltz. But this schmaltz is treif, because it's together with the blood. So the Gemara says, in the days of the Gemara, they had a chemical procedure where they were able to remove every single particle of dam from the schmaltz, and the Gemara says, then you can eat the schmaltz. Even though it was cooked with the dam. When you're broiling the flesh, the schmaltz is falling down to the bottom, dripping down to the bottom, with the blood, the treif of blood that's dripping down to the bottom. We paskan dam shemolcha is only midirabonim. The prohibition against eating dam is because the dam is supposed to be, if it would have been a carbon, you would have been zorek the dam on the mizbech. So the pasuk says, the dam is supposed to be for kapara purposes. So the Gemara says, let's say you shech the carbon and you have the container full of dam and you cook the dam in a pot on top of the fire before you zarek it on the mizbech. So the Gemara says, dam shebishlo is posel. If you do the zrika with dam of ushel, you're not yotze the mitzvah. The carbon, you got to bring the carbon all over again. You have to be zarek the dam, raw dam that was not cooked. So because dam is prohibited, the pasuk says the prohibition against eating dam is because the role of the dam is, if it would have been a korban, you should be zerk the dam on the mizbeach. So therefore we're not allowed to eat dam. So we assume, that's a machlokes in Menachas, we assume dam shebishlo is posel lizrak al gabi hamizbeach, he won't be yotze the mitzvah of the korban. So mele dam shebishlo is only the rabbonim. If you take a container full of blood and you cook it, so then it becomes only dam midirabon. Minatar, it's considered moil habasar. Minatar, I say that the dam shebishloi is considered like schmaltz, like the juice of the meat. If I take a raw piece of meat and I squeeze out dam, so that's the dam that you're not allowed to eat. That's an isa deraisa. But once I cook the dam, so it only becomes, now I see that considered like the juice of the meat, so that's only dam shebishlo is only the rabban.
And you salted
it, so I cooked it. Dam shemolcha is also only the rabban. If you have blood and you salt it, so that also knocks it down to the level of the rabban. So true, the case in the Gemara is talking about a case, the rabbanon, he was broiling the steaks, which he never salted in advance to remove all the dam. He broils the steaks. And he has a pan on the bottom, so it won't mess up the whole house. So the pan collects all of the schmaltz that's dripping down, and it collects all of the blood that's dripping down. So true, once you broil the flesh, the dam shebishlo is only going to be the rabbanon. The worst you're dealing with is dam the rabbanon, but still it's an isa dam. So then the Gemara says, there is a chemical procedure, which the Amoraim were aware of, that if you put the right kind of coarse salt into the schmaltz on the bottom, you will succeed in removing every single particle of dam, and then the schmaltz that remains behind will be mutter. That's efshel hafrida by shari surim, is mutter. But what's the din of efshel hafrida by basa b'cholim? So that's machlokes in the shach. That's a machlokes.
But the meat itself, besides the milk that you're taking out, the meat itself is also, so what good does it do taking the milk out? The piece of meat that milk fell on and was cooked.
Yeah.
So it now has a new concept of basar b'cholim. The whole piece of meat is asur. So even if you take the milk out of it, the meat is still asur.
No, that's the two opinions. If you succeed in getting every particle of the milk out, maybe it's mutter. Let's have a big steak. And one end of the steak, I put on butter. I poured milk, and it was cooking with the milk. So that part of the steak is basar b'cholim. The other part of the steak is not basar b'cholim. You don't say just because one part is basar b'cholim, the whole thing is basar b'cholim. The part that has the bli of the cholim is basar b'cholim. So what if I take out the entire bli of cholim? Now there's no longer any bliya. Mamish, I removed every particle of milk. So that's a machloikis. That's a machloikis. So we follow the shach. Shach thinks that it's awesome. That once it became awesome, it remains awesome. There's no way to be much. You need 60 against the whole piece of meat that had chalav in it. Let's say I have a big steak and only chalav was nivel into one part. So only that part became basa b'chalav.
Then I can eat the rest of it without doing anything else.
Right, you cut it off. But let's say the whole piece of meat was cooked with milk, and then you succeed in removing every particle of milk from the piece of meat. So we follow the shach. We hold that that's still awesome and atara. Epshel afrid is still awesome and atara. Yeah, it remains. Once it became basa b'chalav, it remains basa b'chalav. You know, you removed every single particle of chalav, not the same as shari surim. If you remove every particle of dam, and you're left only with the shmaltz, the Gemara said b'feirush that it's mutter. That's the last line in Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. But if you move with every particle of milk, it still remains awesome. That's a discussion. The Rosh quotes the Ramban as discussion. In Perek Behemam Kasha, in the fourth Perek, the Mishnayos have that you can't ask any kashas against biology. If an animal breaks a leg at a certain point, so the whole animal is not a trefa, but from the broken point till the end of the leg, you're not allowed to eat. When you shech the animal, that's included in the pasuk of basa basara trefa lo sechelu. A lot of prohibitions are included. So one is if the animal has a certain disease, or has a leg broken in a certain spot, so the whole animal becomes a trefa. And then there's another din, if you have a limb that's dangling, so even if it doesn't make the whole animal into a trefa, but the dangling limb is asa b'achila. It's an isa trefa, included in the pasuk. So the Rosh quotes the Ramban, who was bothered by the kasha, that the Mishnah says that you can't ask any kashas in biology. If the animal breaks its leg at a certain low point, it's not a trefa. Breaks it at a higher point, it does become a trefa. Break it a little higher, it wouldn't have become a trefa.
You don't have to include it.
Huh?
The low point was included in that thing, that you made trefa. It included, okay,
so the Mishnah says, you can't ask a enome betrefa zudarmelozo, you can't ask a kash on biology. How come here it's a trefa, here it's not a trefa? That's biology. That's where it goes. It doesn't go with logic. Doesn't go with svaris. Sure. So the Ramban is bothered with akasha. If the animal has a broken leg at a certain point, so idiot, why do you shecht it now? It'll be a trefa. Take a saw, cut off another 2 inches. It'll be ice trefa, and then shecht it. So the Ramban says anachinami. When the Mishnah says if the leg of the animal was broken by the tzumas agidin, there's a point in the leg where you have, I think, 16. Gidden cross over each other. Birds, you can find it easy. The aims, you can find it also. If you know what you're looking for, you'll be able to find it. So if the leg is broken by the tzumas agidin, then the whole animal is a trefa. If it breaks an inch above that, only that part and below is trefa. The rest of the animal is not a trefa. So the Ramban says, if the animal broke its leg by the tzumas agidin, so don't shecht it yet. Take a saw, cut off another 2 inches, and then shecht it.
Broke the leg at that point, the whole animal became
trefa.
Now you're trying to undo
the trefa.
How can you do it?
So the Rosh says what you said. The Rosh said, what are you talking about? He argues on the Ramban. So the Rosh formulates it called trefa eino chazeres lachshev. And macholas asuris, once the thing became trefa, it can't become kosher anymore. So that's apparently what the Shach thinks over here by the basa b'cholav. If you cook meat with milk together, the meat, if I was broiling steaks and the schmaltz accumulates on the bottom of the schmaltz is dripping down and the blood is dripping down and they're both cooking together there, the schmaltz with the blood, so you're not allowed to eat the schmaltz, but the schmaltz didn't become dam. You're not allowed to eat the schmaltz because it has dam mixed into it. Not that the schmaltz became dam. Schmaltz has a bli of dam. So if you use a chemical procedure, which the Gemara calls the tregele gemilcha, if you use a chemical procedure to remove every particle of dam, so the schmaltz was never treif in the first place. It's treif, it's chayzer lachsher. But if the animal became a treifa, it remains a treifa. If you cook basa b'chalav, the whole basa b'cholav, the whole thing becomes osa. So what does it help? You're going to remove every particle of cholav. But it already became osa.
When the shmaltz was in the blood, at one period of time, before you removed it, it was considered tayyib.
It was treif because it had a bli of dam in it. Okay. The shmaltz was always kosher. The dam was always treif. No, the basa alone is kosher and the cholav alone is kosher. Each one is kosher. The combination of both creates an isa on both. They both become osir. So they both become osir. Not that I'm not allowed to eat because it has milk in it. Milk is kosher. Correct. If you have two things in a muta, basa b'cholav, and you cook them together, it creates an isa basa b'cholav on the thing. So even if you'll separate it, that's the Rosh's klal. Treif eina chazeres lachshem. Exactly.
But if this piece of basa b'cholav falls into another pot accidentally, of more than 60 times the volume, then that piece of meat that was busted with chalav will be edible.
Okay, good.
So you do have a situation where you can make it kosher again.
By bitl. No, because we say it loses its identity in the conglomerate. It was nizbatl. Okay. But this piece itself, if it doesn't become batl v'shishin, this piece itself will remain awesome. That's a big discussion. We assume that's the klal in all macholas asuris. The treif eino chazeres lasher. We don't follow the Ramban. Ramban says when the animal breaks its leg by the tzumas agidin, the shechet should be alert. Don't shech the behemah. Get a saw, cut another 2 inches above, and the whole animal will be chazeres lachshera. So we don't follow the Ramban. We hold like the Ramah. We hold like the Rush. That once anything becomes treif, once an animal becomes treif, once a piece of food becomes macholas asuris, eino chazeres lachshera. That's a famous machlokes. What that what? I'm doing it for the purpose of making a kosher. No, whenever you shecht an animal, there's always. Whenever you kill any animal. No, whenever you kill any animal, there's tzar balechaim. But the Torah permits us to kill animals in order to eat them. So here I'm cutting another inch in order that it should become kosher.
The assumption that it doesn't hurt the animal as much by shechita, but cutting off its leg, I imagine, hurts.
Yeah, but the tzarach b'ni adam, there is no isa tzar balechaim. Whenever the tzarach b'ni adam, so there's no isa tzar balechaim. There's a Ramon in Ebenezer. What's it doing in Ebenezer? It's a good question. Ramon in Ebenezer, he had the simen hay. He says, Mikir adin, if you need a quill in order to write with ink, so you're permitted to pull off a feather from a live animal, from a live turkey, or from a live duck. But he said, I tzar balechaim. No, the tzarach b'ni adam. I need a pen, and I don't have a quill to write with. So mikra, then you're allowed to pull it off from a live animal. But he says, we don't recommend it because you're going to train yourself in doing acts of achzorius. So we don't recommend it. But strictly speaking, that's the klal. That he says, there is no isa tzar balechaim whenever it's l'tzarach b'ni adam. The psukim say in Yeshua, that when Yeshua ben Nun was winning all the wars against the Lamed Aleph Malachim, the 31 Goyishe kings, so they wanted to scare all the nations that they shouldn't give them a hard time. So when they captured the horses of the enemy, so they broke off the leg. It says, Esusem ta'aker. They were instructed to break the legs of the horses, that the Goyim will all know that if they lose the battle, we're going to kill them and they're going to break the legs of the behemoths, everything's going to be gefela. So Tosfos and Avodah Zarah asked the kasha, how were they allowed to break off the legs of the horses? It's tachmamash atzar balechayim. So Tosfos answers, the Rishonim answer, it was the tzarach b'nei adam. If that's part of the war technique, that's part of the war tactic, to petrify the enemy by showing them this is what's going to happen to you, so then you're allowed to do that. Whenever it's the tzarach b'nei adam, there's no prohibition on tzar balechayim.
So when is tzar balechayim forbidden? Like if you're doing it for no purpose at all?
Yeah.
Why would anybody do that kind of work?
People do. People do all kinds of things. People do all kinds of things. Here, this is a famous discussion in Shulchan Aruch, the following. The Chachamim prohibited Bishul Akum. If a non-Jew cooks food, even though I'm watching him cook, and everything is a kosher pot and a kosher ingredients, everything is kosher, so you're not allowed to eat the food because it may lead to intermarriage. So there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. What does that mean? That means if I eat bishul akam, I eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew, that's like dancing with a nachris. That's like dancing with a non-Jewish woman. Because it may lead to intermarriage. That's the prohibition. Or do you say no? Because they're afraid it may lead to intermarriage, so they declare that bishul akam is macholos hasuris. What's the difference? Whether Chasna says the reason for the prohibition, but the nature of the prohibition is that it's macholas asuris. Bishalakam is macholas asuris. So do you say no? Bishalakam is not macholas asuris. It's like dancing with a non-Jewish woman, like dating non-Jewish women. It's going to lead to, may possibly lead to intermarriage. So eating bishalakam may lead to, it's a harchaker that it shouldn't lead to intermarriage. So one of the big differences is this shaila. Let's say the non-Jew took raw meat, kosher meat, and he broiled it shlish bishulo, and it's nechol kamaychol ben derusoy. Some people, he broiled it rare, so some people would eat it the way it is, and other people would want dafke well done. They would insist dafke should be cooked some more. So the minimum cooking that something has to have, that it should be considered bishul. Let's say I take raw food on Shabbos and I cook it. How much do you have to cook it that it should be considered that you violated the malacha bishul? So if you cooked it till the point, Kamaychol ben derusoy was a gangster who lived in the days of the Tanoim. He was always hiding from the police. So whenever he would be running away from the police, so he would make his supper, and he would, thank you, and he would broil it only shlish bishulo. He would gobble down his food and he would run away. He was afraid the police were always going to catch him. So this gangster, ben derusoy, only cooked it to his food rare done. So there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What's the din? If a non-Jew cooks, takes the raw meat and he cooks it and he makes it shlish bishulo, it's kamachal ben derusoy. So you're not allowed to eat that meat. What if a Jew will now continue to cook that meat and make it mavushal kol tzarkai? Now everybody will enjoy eating it. Not only those who enjoy rare done, even those who enjoy well done. So do you say treifa eina chazeres lechsheira? Or do you say what treifa? It's not macholas asuras. You're not allowed to date a non-Jewish girl. If the non-Jewish girl converts, you're allowed to date her. She's a geyaris now. So you're not allowed to eat the food if it was cooked by a non-Jew. But if a Jew continued to cook it, so it's like it was nizgayer. So why should you say treif ene chazer slachshem? So we pass in the hakel on that bishalakam is not macholas asuris. The other rishonim held that bishalakam is the reason for the prohibition. What motivated the chachamim to prohibit bishalakam is because they're afraid it may lead to intermarriage. But the prohibition is not dancing with a nochri. The prohibition is it's macholas asuris. Another nafkamina would be, let's say, the nochri cooked some food, kamaycha ben derusoy, and it became bishalakum, and then it got mixed in with other food. Do you need shishim, or is enough with roif? So shishim is only needed by macholas asuris. When you have non-kosher food, so then there's a din of tam kikers, and the sinas tam goes up until shishim. Usually, once you have shishim in the heter against the isa, it no longer succeeds in giving an asinas tam. So that's a machloikis in Rishonim, the same machloikis. Is bishalakam a form of macholas hasuris midrabbanan? Then you need shishim against it. Or do you say, no, it's like dancing with a non-Jewish woman. So if it's batal b'roiv, so then oisis, so there's no isa. So we are consistent. We paskin that you don't need shishim. We paskin that it's not macholas hasuris. The thing where we're not consistent is that third issue should be totally zebezeh. The Tshuvas Aran puts all three together. Logically, all three are connected, and the Shulchan Aruch, we split it. So the third nafkamina is like this. Let's say I have pots and pans in my home, and everything is kosher. So one fine day, the maid decides she takes out kosher food from the refrigerator, and she takes out raw meat, raw kosher meat from the refrigerator, and she cooks it in my kosher fleshy pot. There's no shayla of treif, there's a shayla of bishalakum. So we're not allowed to eat the food that she cooked. Bishalakum, not allowed to eat. Do you have to kasher the pot? Do you have to kasher the pot? So what's the whole issue of kashering a pot? If you have treif of food, then I say it's going to be nice and tam. So nesinas tam is going to asa. But if you say bishalakum, nesinas tam does nasa, you don't need shishim. It's bottle bereiv, it's not macholas asuris. So if you're not dealing with Macholas Asuras, so there is no din of Tam Kiker. The Chumash says after the Muhammad with Midian, so the Jews won the war, the end of Chumash Bamidbar, so it says after they won the war, they had to kasha all the treifa pots. So the Gemara says, why do you have to kasha the treifa pots? You see that Tam Kiker is a din deraisa. If you would cook kosher food in the treifa pot, the treifa bli in the pot would make treif the kosher food that you cook. You always have roiv against it if you're going to cook kosher food in a treifa pot. How much treif of bliya is there in the pot already? A little bit of bliya. So the bli is going to be bottle beroiv. So you see from the pasuk that a trefa bli is not bottle beroiv, that you need shishim, and it's usually it's very rare to have shishim in the volume of the food. Let's say you have a soup pot. It's very rare to have shishim in the soup in the pot against the thickness of the walls of the pot. It's very rare. And in factories you can have, because they have pots the size of this room. But at home, at a normal home, you don't have shishim in the pot, in the volume of what you're cooking in the pot against the thickness of the walls of the pot. So the Torah says you have to kasher trefah pots. Why? Because tam kikar deraisa. So if you cook kosher food in a trefah pot, the trefah bli will go into the food and make a treif. But if you say that by bishalakam, it's not machalas hasuris, and it's batel beroi because there's no din of tam kikar, so you should never have to kasher a pot that the goyim cooked in. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's quoted as a machloikas, and we're machmer on that. So that's the question, why is that so? Because in the Rishayim, they put all the three together, the three issues, atoli zeh bezeh. The prohibition of bishalakam is introduced because they're afraid it's going to lead to intermarriage. Doesn't mean it's an isa like dancing with a non-Jewish woman. But it's not an isa macholas hasuris at all. They say, no, that's the reason why they prohibited it, but they instituted that it's an isa macholas hasuris. So the three nafkaminas that they give are what they need shishim, and what they say, trefo chazeris lech sheira, and what they have to kasher the pot. So the kashering we're machmas, so that's a problem. Why?
Does that apply like stam yeinim, the same reason? In other words, we originally stam yeinim because of chasim, right?
Right.
But now we added on a chumrah because of nisim, not menaseh.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it worse as far as whatever the
surah makes it worse? Yeah, sure, it makes it worse. Makes it osa ba'anoh. If it would only been mishum chasnus, it would only been osa ba'chilo. And now that they were concerned because of the far-fetched possibility, maybe the nochri was menasech, the wine lover, it is oris. So the Tosha says they wouldn't have introduced the prohibition on wine because of the chashash nisa. It's too far-fetched. But once they introduced the isur mishum chasnus, which is reasonable, so then they had the right to add on an added chumer to aser even bahano, right? But stam yeinim is called macholos asur, is that for sure? You need the after kasha the trefi kelim. That the Rambam holds that that yai nesach is for sure macholos asur is there, right? Okay, so we got a lot of introductions. Now we have to give a lot of hagdomas. Let's go again. Omar Rav, let's start again the Gemara about 7-8 lines after the beginning of the Gemara. Daf kufches. Amarav, Kivin Shinosan Tamachaticha, he's going on the case of the Mishnah. Tipas Chalav Shinofl al Alachaticha, and Yeshba Minaisan Tam, Bosa Chaticha. There is a Tam Chalav in the Chaticha, so all Chaticha becomes Osa. So then he says, Chaticha Atzma Nasus Nevela, not to be taken literally, the Chaticha doesn't become Nevela. Chaticha becomes Bosa B'chalav. Means that just like Nevela, every particle of it is Treif, so to over here, you don't say, you're not allowed to eat the flesh because you're drinking the milk. But the milk was kosher. The flesh was kosher and the milk was kosher. It means chaticha atzmanasis iser. The way to say it is chaticha atzmanasis nevel. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that he was once giving a smicha bechina. So he asked one of the boys, what does it mean chaticha atzmanasis nevela? So he said, if you cook milk and meat together and you eat it, you get malchus because of the lava of nevela. That's ridiculous. Not to be taken literally. Doesn't mean chaticha turns into the vela. How can it turn into the vela? It means it turns into an issa. The whole piece becomes also.
Did he
get smicha? I'm afraid he did. I don't know. He said he asked the boys, what is dog and tirish v'yitzar? He said in Kriyashma, I have a safta digonach v'sirosh v'tzarech. He says the boy didn't know.
What
is dog on tirosh v'yitzar? So the boy didn't know. So he said, but you say it every day in Kriyashma. He didn't know what he was saying in Kriyashma. He used to ask elementary questions. Yeah. So what does he say? The chaticha becomes aser. V'oseris kol ha-chatichas kulam emnei shehein mino. And Rav, I mentioned before, Rav Yehuda, the Tan is of the opinion that min b'mino b'mashu, if it's lach b'lach. And Rav Shmuel happened to hold like Rav Yehuda. That's why Rashi says we should paskin like Rav Yehuda, because Rav Shmuel side with Rav Yehuda that min b'mino b'mashu. So that's what he says over here. If you have a piece of meat, and the cholav fell on the meat, and it was sitting there burning hot pot, and the cholav succeeded in giving an asinas tam into the piece of flesh. So that one piece of flesh became basa b'cholav. And then, That's what it means. Chatichatz menasus nevela means nasus iser. The whole piece of flesh is us. Now, if this piece of flesh, you'll stir the whole pot now, and the whole thing is all flesh. It's not that you have meatballs and you have vegetable soup there. The whole thing is one big mishmash of all of flesh. So that's min b'minoy. So this little bit of flesh, with all the rest, even if you have shishim, even if you have shishim and everything against this piece, you'll be allowed to eat the pieces maybe. But the lach balach flavoring, the lach balach flavoring that gets mixed in, the tam of this flesh gets blended in with the tam of the rest of the flesh, because it's all one big raitev. Because min b'mina by lach balach is b'mashahu. That's what Rav says. Ravina is a later generation. Rav is the first generation of Amoraim. Ravina Rav Ashi, the last generation. They're the editor of the Talmud Bavli. So yes, Ravina Akasha, Michdi, think, Rav Kiman Omer Lishmaitu, whose opinion is Rav adopting? Rav Yehuda. The Omer, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda Min, Mimina Loi Batul. Rav Yehuda holds Min, Mimina is Bamashu. In fact, Akasha, he thought that you're talking in a case like this. You have a lot of liquid in the pot, and you have a couple of meatballs over there. So the flesh, the piece of flesh that became Basa B'chalav, is Mimina with all the other flesh. But you have other stuff in the pot. You have potatoes, and you have carrots, and you have other vegetables. You have a whole goulash over there. So what do you say? Mimina B'mashu? So you're not allowed to eat any of the flesh. But Rava made a comment, even if you would hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So he asked Akasha, Mazucha Beder Rav Meir, he asked Akasha of Ravina. Is Rav contradicting what Rav is? Rav has a right to contradict Rav. Rav came way later. Rav is bigger than Rav. Rav has a right to disagree, but he's just asking, Lema Pliga de Rav? Should I say that Rav disagrees with what Rav said? And we always said that Rav's din was accepted by everybody. What's the Rav Gizak to Amar Rav? Kasav Rav Yehuda, Rav explained a certain difficult passage. He says, the answer is, Rav Yehuda holds the following. When they say min b'mina b'mashu, if all you have is min b'minoi, but if you have min and minoi and ena minoi, you have a pot of vegetable soup, you have vegetables there and you have flesh, and a tray for a piece of flesh gets in and everything gets mixed up. You're going to say, all the flesh above is b'mashu, because the flesh, the treif and nevela flesh, gives in its sinus time and all the kosher flesh. So you're going to say mim, 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 mashu. So Rav says, no. Since it's mim, she'ena minoi, so that's bottle b'shishim. So you ignore the fact that you have a mim, mim, also. Don't worry about the mim, mim, because the mim, she'ena minoi will make it bottle b'shishim. So he asked, but isn't that the case that Rav is talking about? You had one piece of flesh on top of the whole pile that became bas b'cholav. Then later on, after it became treif, you stirred up the whole pot together. The whole pot was all flesh. You must have had ena mina in the pot also. You had the potatoes and carrots and vegetables and liquid and fluid and vegetable soup, whatever. So why don't you say, like Rava says, kol shehu mina mina v'davar acher, you have mim b'mina, but you also have a mim b'she'ena mina. So ignore the mim b'mina for a while. Salakas mina k'misha'eno. Ignore the mim b'mina problem. Ignore the fact that you have hetadik flesh there that should have become also because mim b'mina. However, the shein amina rabbal of a mevatloi, the mim shein amina will be mevatl a trefer thing. So then you no longer say mim b'mina b'mashu. So he's asking Akasha on Rav. What Rav said, if this one piece of meat that became basa b'cholav is now stirred up with the whole pot, oh, yigefelach is going to be mim b'mina b'mashu. So he said, why is it going to be mim b'mina b'mashu? You have other things in the pot. So that's what Ravina answers. What is the answer? Omalei, so Ravina answers, idunafel b'raitev rako, if it fell into liquidy soup, and you have a couple of meatballs here and there, then you're right. The liquidy soup, the vegetable soup, or the fluid, whatever, that's min b'shein amina with the flesh, and the pieces of flesh is min b'mina. So then you would say, hachanami, you would be right. Salakas mina k'mishein, you know? Don't label it as a min b'mina, call it a min b'shein amina, it's bottle. And then min b'mina is not a problem. Hachamas kin, on the Rab's case was talking, the whole thing is a thick flesh. The novel b'roitev ovir. There is no roitev raka. There is no liquidy fluid over here. Everything is a mush of flesh. That's all min b'mina. Everything is min b'mina lach b'lach. So that's why min b'mina m'masha. So now the Gemara is going to explain, what does it mean? Chatichatz manasis nevel. So that's what we spoke about before. Frek de Gemara, umay kosav. What does Rav think? when he says over here that chaticha kimish nasan tam bechaticha, when the milk succeeds in giving a tam, a flavor of milk into the chaticha's bosa, chatichatz manas nevela, the chaticha turns into a chefta shalis. Oh my kasava, what does he think on the following score? If I would have taken that piece of bosa b'cholov and I would have put it into a pot with water, and I would squeeze out, or I would hold it under the faucet, and the water would keep on flowing, and I would keep on squeezing out the milk, keep on squeezing out the milk, and now I have so little amount of milk, I didn't succeed in getting out all the milk, I have so little milk left in the piece of flesh that it no longer succeeds in giving the sinas tam. What would the din be? What would he think? What does Rab think about that? He kasava after the sochta muta. If he would think that if you squeeze out all of the cholov, he can't succeed in squeezing it all out. But if he would squeeze so much out that it no longer succeeds in giving the sinas tam, would be muta. So why does he say chaticha amay nasus nevela? So why does he say that that it's min b'mina b'mashu? Why? It's not chaticha atzmanas nevela. The chaticha bosu itself can turn it to heter in the case that you'll have shishim against the milk. Ela obviously kasava. Rav is of the opinion efshe l'sochta osur. You have to say even if you succeed in getting out so much milk that it's no longer nice and tam, it will still be us. And we know that this is a machlokes Rav Shmuel v'Yitmar. You know, the Rav, Rab Chanina, Rab Yechanan, there are three Amoraim, they all said the same Shita. The Amor, they all said the same Epshe, the Sachta was also. Even if it, once it became Basa B'cholav, even if you remove so much milk and it's no longer nice and time, it's us. And Shmuel is the one who disagrees with Rav. And Rab Shimon Bar Rebbe is the one who disagrees with Rab Chanina. And Rish Lakish is the one who disagrees with Rab Yechanan. Each one had his pair. Rav Shmuel used to have arguments. Rabbi Yechon Mishlokish used to have arguments. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe had arguments. So the three Amoraim held one way, Epshe L'Sochta Aser, and their three Bnei Plukta held the other way, Epshe L'Sochta is Mutter. So Gemara said, okay, so everything fits in. Epshe L'Sochta is Aser, that's how we pass it. Epshe L'Sochta is Aser, and therefore Achatich Atzma Nasas Nevela, and therefore you say, Min B'mina B'mashu. Fine. Freg the Gemara Akasha, is that correct? Well, we just said that's Taka Rab's opinion. The Savar Rab, is this true that Rab's opinion is Epshe L'Sochta Osur? It doesn't seem to be correct. V'ho Itmar, we have a tradition. Kazayis, the Talmud Babli, was edited a few generations after Rav. It was edited by Ravina Rabashi. So Itmar, they're quoting an earlier dispute. Kazayis Bosar, Shenofala Toch Yoresh Al Cholov. You have a pot full of milk, and it's on top of the fire, and it's cooking. Everything is burning out. And a little piece of flesh falls into the milk. So the little piece of flesh into a big, gigantic samovar full of milk will not succeed. A little meatball is not going to succeed in giving a tam bosar into the milk. You have mayo, you have masaim, you have elef. You have a thousand times more milk than you have flesh. So the flesh does not succeed in giving the sinas tam into the milk. But the milk for sure is going to succeed in giving the sinas tam into the flesh. The little meatball or the little piece of flesh is going to be durch and durch. It's going to be full of milk. So that's what Rab says. Kazai's boss, a little unit of flesh, falls into a big yorei gadol shel chol. Amar Rab basar, asar v'chol amuta. I would have said the same thing. The basar is asar because it's going to be through and through a bliya of milk in it. And all the chalav is mutter because the flesh will not succeed in giving a tam into the milk. Nice, easy din. So now the Gemara asked the kasha, but if you just told me that Rab thinks Epshe L'Sochta Osur, so the piece of meat that fell into the milk, piece of meat, is through and through absorbed with burning hot milk. So the piece of meat became basa b'chalav. So when it became basa b'cholav, the flesh above became basa b'cholav, and the milk that was with it at that time also became basa b'cholav. So then if you leave it in the big pot of milk long enough, so the little bit of milk that was attached to this piece of meat that became basa b'cholav is going to go out, and it's going to get mixed in with the rest of the milk in the pot. So why don't you say, min b'mina b'mashu? Just like he said before, if you have a what did Rab say? If you have a piece of meat and the milk succeeds in giving the sinas tam, so the whole piece of meat becomes asa. And then when I mix the piece of meat in with the rest of the flesh, and it's a pot full of flesh, what did the Gemara say? Right above it, it's a thick, you don't have any liquidy, you don't have any vegetables here. The whole thing is all thick flesh, it's all mim and mina. So Rab said, mim and mina mimashu. So just like Rab said, flesh But the b'chol dikah flesh, it gets mixed into the rest of the kosher flesh, is considered min b'mina b'mashu. There's a big blila, so you should say the same on the cholov shebetoch habasar. That piece of flesh that became trait because it's bas b'cholov, so the little bit of cholov that was in it now goes out into the rest of the cholov in the pot, and it's going to be cholov b'cholov. So cholov b'cholov is min b'minoi, and Rav obviously thinks like Rav Yehuda that min b'minoi should be b'mashu. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Freg the Gemara v'yisal kadaitach on the last line. And if you're telling me that that's Rav's opinion, efshe the sachtoi osur. Even if now there's no longer any tam basar in the chalav, they have a big pot. I already took out the piece of flesh and I threw it in the garbage. Fine. So there's no longer yada elef alfi alofim in the milk against the flesh. There's no longer any tam flesh in the milk, but part of the milk became basar b'chalav. When I was cooking this tiny little piece of flesh in the milk, the piece of flesh became basar b'chalav. So the cholov shebe also piece of flesh also became basar b'cholov. So when that milk goes out and it gets mixed in with the rest of the milk, cholov amay muta. Why do you say all the cholov in the pot is muta because it doesn't have tam basar? So what? Cholov nevelahu. But the little bit of milk that was originally absorbed in the piece of meat became basar b'cholov. So then when it goes out from that piece of meat, it gets blended in with the rest of the milk in the pot. Mimimimim should be the mashu. And for the Gemara, a new twist. No, it only works when it says in the Chumash, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalev Imo. What becomes Asa? The Basa and the Chala both become Asa. When you cook flesh with Mutka, they both become Asa. Maybe it just means Lo Sevashel Gedi. The flesh becomes Asa, the milk doesn't become Asa. That's how the Gemara suggests. So what Rab said before, you had the piece of meat on top, you have a pot, and you have a liquid, and then a piece of meat on top. So the tipas challah falls on the piece of meat on top. You don't have shishim in that piece of meat, so the whole piece of meat became trei. So then Rab says, and if you stir the pot now, and everything is a mush of flesh, so the piece of meat is nice and tam into the rest of the meat, mim, because the flesh becomes also. But now you're asking the opposite case. You had a tiny little piece of meat, fell into a big vat full of milk, and there's elef alfei alofim and the milk against the meat. So you asked Akasha, the piece of meat became also though, because it's durach and durach, has a blia of milk in it. So the milk that was attached to the meat also became basar b'chalav. So the Gemara says, maybe Rav is of the opinion that when the Torah prohibits basar b'chalav, only the flesh component becomes treif. The milk component remains mutter. That's what the Gemara says. Li'olam kasav Rav shalasach dasa. The pshat that we gave in Rav is correct. Are you asked Akasha over here? V'shayni hasam dama kol osavashu g'di b'chalev ima g'di osra Torah v'loi cholav. Rav holds that the prohibition against basar b'chalav, you're not allowed to eat it, is only an isra on the flesh. There's no isra on the milk at all.
Why would the soup be? Then maybe the soup would be mutter. And you had that goulash.
Oh, so the Gemara says it's only if the whole thing is a roitev of it. If it's a thick fleshic soup, the whole thing is all flesh. There is no liquidy stuff there. If it would be liquidy, then it would be min b'shena mina. Then it would be min b'shena mina. So the Gemara says, the only time Rab says it's a min b'mina, min b'mina mamashu, is if the flesh component of the basa b'cholav gets mixed in, gives an asinas tam into flesh of heter. So flesh and flesh is min b'mina. If it's lach b'lach, so min b'mina will be b'mashu. But the milk component should be basa b'cholav. Milk component never became also in the first place.
Do we say that you need to rotate to transfer the tam? You can't do yavish to yavish, doesn't give tam.
You have to have moisture, yeah. You have to have moisture. But all the moisture, the Gemara says, are right above, so everything is all considered flesh. So the Gemara considers that mimimimim. So that's how the Gemara is saving Rav. The contradiction of Rav, the answer is that Rav thinks whenever something becomes basar b'chalav, only the flesh component becomes asar. There's never an iser on the milk component. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Absolutely wrong. The Savar Rav, the fourth line from the top of Kuf Chesem Beis. The Savar Rav, is that true that Rav is of the opinion, G'di asar Torah v'loi cholav? When you have the prohibition of basar b'chalav, it's only chal on the flesh component, not on the milk component. It's wrong. It's not true. The halacha is not true. V'ha'itmar, we have a tradition. They're quoting from earlier generation. Ravin Rav Ashi are writing the Talmud Bavli, and they're quoting from Rav, a few generations before. Well, Itmar, Chatzizai is Basav, Chatzizai is Cholav, Shebishlon, Ze'im Ze'. He cooked together a half a kazais of flesh and a half a kazais of milk. Amar Rav lo kalachi losa, it's mitzdarif. It's all shame echod. How can you be loike if you say the milk, there's no prohibition on the milk, the whole prohibition is only on the flesh? So he only ate a half a kazais? So in order to get malchus, you have to eat a full kazais. So you see that when the isa basa b'chalav is chal, it's chal both on the basar and on the chalav, it's beferish. That's why he says, chatzi zayis basa b'chatzi zayis chalav, shebishlam zem zeh, omar avlok alachilos, so he gets malchus on, for eating it. So you see, an isa basa b'chalav is chal on the milk. Okay, the rest will have to work. I'm in a local bishula, why not? But he says, you look al chilosa, v'yisal gadaitach, and you're going to tell me this teretz that you just suggested, gediyas the Torah, v'loi cholav, the Torah never prohibited the milk component, only the flesh. Achila my look, echatz ishiru. So you have to say that that's not true, the teretz that he gave is not true. Eliliyolim kasam rab cholav nami osa. You have to say, avada the cholav is osa. Aye, if the cholav is osa, so you asked the kasha before, what did Rav say? Kazai's boss is Abba Yorish al Cholav, a sum of our full of milk. Have 1,000 units of milk, and a tiny little unit of flesh fell in. So the flesh will not succeed in giving tam, flesh, to the whole milk. So he says, all the milk is mutter, but the piece of flesh is going to be also, because it's going to be absorbed through and through with milk. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, so why is all the milk mutter? But this piece of flesh becomes basa b'chalav with a little bit of cholav in it. Then you let it sit long enough so the little bit of cholav, which it joined with to create basa b'chalav, is going to leave the little piece of flesh and it's going to get mixed in with the rest of the pot of the milk. So the milk and milk is b'mashu. Cholav b'chalav should be b'mashu. So we suggested the teretz initially, the Torah only prohibits the flesh component of the basa b'chalav. The Torah never prohibited the milk. So Gemara said that teretz is not true. You see, before you eat a half kazayis basar, half kazayis cholav, you do get malchus. So the Gemara says, no, the answer is, he didn't let the piece of meat sit long enough in the big pot of milk that it should both absorb milk and then give the milk back out into the thing. It fell in for 2 seconds and then he grabbed it out right away. So it only had an opportunity to absorb milk and it didn't have an opportunity to spit out that milk that it absorbed. So there's not yet a taruvis of min b'mina of treif and milk into the kosher milk. That's what the Gemara answers. Hachem askinan, and for the Gemara, Hachem askinan, we're talking about the case, kan shenofel atach yorer asachas, the little piece of flesh fell into a big vat full of milk, it's burning hot. The mivla bola, the piece of flesh will absorb the milk, however, miflat loy polad, it didn't have a chance yet to give out that milk that get mixed up with all the rest of the milk in the pot. Fragding Morris, but it's going to sit there long enough. Another 5 minutes, it's going to give out the milk that it absorbed. So another 5 minutes, it'll get mixed in. Sof kinayach, when the bubbling stops, when it stops absorbing milk, the pullet then is going to give out the milk that's going to get mixed in. The tray for milk, basa b'chol's milk, is going to get mixed in with the kosher milk. And for the Gemara we're talking, kishkata masilko, the little piece of meat fell in, and then a second after it fell in, he took it out. So it never had a chance to become tray, but it didn't have a chance for the milk shabo to get mixed in with all the rest of the milk.
If it would have been left in.
Yeah. If he would have left it in, then it would have been min b'mashu. So all of the milk in the pot would have been us. Okay. Here's a famous Tosfos. We'll have to discuss it next week. In Parshas Kisisa, we read about the Chet HaEgel. Ramban holds in the Sefer HaMitzvos that there's one of the Sheish Zechiris. Zohar Eish Asher Tzavtas Hashem Olkecha Bamidbo. We should always remember the Chet HaEgel. Ramban writes he's not sure whether this is a mitzvah l'doros or it's only HaRoshon, the Dor HaMidbar. They should remember the Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Shalom is kind to them. He didn't wipe them out when they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Or perhaps it's a din l'doros. We should always remember the story of the Chet HaEgel. Why should we remember the story of the Chet HaEgel? What's so significant? We should always walk around with a guilty complex, with a guilty conscience. That we're always we're sinners before we're born in sin. We believe when we were born, everything was tahor. Not like the Avodah Zarah that everyone is born into sin. We don't believe like that. So why should you walk around with this feeling? So the Gemara says, in the first parak on Avodah Zarah, that it b'derech hateva didn't make sense at all, that the Jewish people, right after experiencing as a makis in Kriyas Yamsuf and Ma'amid HaSinai, the whole thing doesn't make sense. They should worship Avodah Zarah. B'derech hateva, if it would be up to the b'chira chavshes of the individuals of Klal Yisrael, they would never sin with the chet ha'egel. So the Gemara's lashon is lahoy yisrael shebo'os ador rim lo'isa ma'isa. It doesn't make sense. If left on their own, they would never have sinned with the chet ha'egel. Elo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their b'chira chavshes, and he caused them to sin in order to teach them the lesson of tshuva. L'haris tshuva l'rabim, that even if the whole tzibur, even if the overwhelming majority of Bnei Yisrael worship Avodah Zarah, which is the biggest avera you can possibly do, still it's possible to do tshuva, because the psukim in the hemshach of the parsha and kisisa psukim say, "Ayav Hashem apana v'yikra Hashem Hashem kal rachem chanun." So the Gemara says, "El mole mikra kosov," if not for the fact that that's what it says in the Chumash, "Yepshel yomer," we wouldn't be allowed to say this. This is like blasphemy. "Malam shenisata v'kadosh baruch kishliat tzibur." "Vayav Hashem alpanav" sounds like a lashon, someone is over lefnei ateva. So the Rabbanu Shalom put on a talis. What do you mean the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have a body, doesn't have a talis? I mean Moshe Rabbeinu visualized an image in front of his God, in front of his eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu had a different, all of the Nevi'im had a nevuah b'chalom. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes had b'chalom, sometimes he had b'chokitz, but the Rabbanu Shalom told him dinim, so he gave him direct dictation. This was not a din. So this, the Rabbanu Shalom appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mara HaNevuah as if he had been a human being, as if the Rabbanu Shalom was a human being, as if he put on the talis and Vayav Hashem Alpanav, he was over lefnei ateva, and the Rabbanu Shalom starts screaming Hashem Hashem kel rachem chanun, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, kol zman shebanei choytim yasa lefani kisei der azeh bani moichalem. The whole purpose of the Chet HaEgel was lahoris tshuva l'rab, to teach this lesson of tshuva, that it's possible to do tshuva and the tshuva will be accepted, and this is the way, this is the style of doing tshuva. The Bnei Yisrael should do tshuva and the chazan should say with the tzibu yud gimel midos. So that's how the Gemara understands the HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the b'chira chavshes of Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says the same about David HaMelech. The Gemara says lohe David roi lois ha-maisa. David didn't really sin on his own with Bathsheba, alohoris tshuva le-yochid, his b'chira chavshes was also suspended. This in Ishkan Teretz, anyone who's going to any other seen, the Bechira Chavshe was suspended. So the Gemara has a tradition about David HaMelech and about the Chet HaEgel, that the tshuva was suspended on that occasion. So that's what the Ramban holds, that's a mitzvah that the Ramban raises a possibility, and the Magen Avraham quotes a Yalkut Shemayni, he says like that. The Magen Avraham didn't have a Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Ramban didn't have a Yalkut Shemayni apparently, so each one doesn't quote the other one's sources. But the Magen Avraham quotes a Yalkut Shemayni like that, that says, there's a mitzvah to lay in Parshas Chet HaEgel, like Parshas Zohar, once a year, every year. So we should lay in Parshas Chet HaEgel once a year, every year. Magen Avraham asked the Kasha, how come we don't make a Parshas Chet HaEgel with a special Haftarah, and we should make an announcement, Gabbai should make an announcement like in Yeshivas. Everybody should have in mind to be Yotzer with the Parshas Chet HaEgel. So he says, it's a Genai for Bnei Yisrael. We should make such an announcement. But strictly speaking, we Yotzer every year when we lay in Parshas Kisisa and when we lay in Chumash Dvarim about the Chet HaEgel. It's a mitzvah l'doris to remember that even if everyone does the worst avera in the world, it's still possible to do tshuva if you do it properly. Do tshuva properly.
You didn't get to the story about the nachas cooks the kosher meat in the kosher pot.
If the nachas, so you have to kasher the pot.
Yeah, so the answer is you said you have to kasher, but you didn't explain why. The question is, if she only cooks it machal ben rusay in the pot, and you finish cooking the meat, do you still have to kasher the pot?
That's a good shot. Okay.
You didn't explain why. So why do we have to? Why do we ask if we have to kasher the pot?
That's a good kasher. That's a good kasher. Well, it's a long story. If I'll give my answer, it's a long, drawn-out, complicated story.